once it's too low, they accept it because they did a mini subcontrol for 50%. We would appreciate it if we can have the results of that survey 2 months down the line. And you will tell us if Parliament has got actual funding from our committee or if Parliament is funding. So we also go and teach you what it's about, who will fund the campaign. But I know that for social responsibility, for free, otherwise we can ask the same university or any other institution. That's your first task. These are inhuman. And we do want to see your support. In every fortnight, we tell us how fun. In the next 6 months, we have got everything about funding for you, location, support, and
Chair, I don't know if some research has already been done. Maybe the first part would be to just see if they were up, except that we know this to be true. Before we cast in different killers. I do remember in 2004, just after that there was something, but I don't know the details.
So you see, Paul, the views of the electors and their moves.
We have branches. We recruit. You come to my branch today.
Let's see and stuff because it will get cold.
Okay. That's okay. Dial for Renache. If you ask about me, they will tell you. Even though I never go to the
police.
The issue was about where am I going?
only say that, remember, we take our documents home, then we take them to our procedures. Then we leave them in our car, and then, so you must always bring documents to the meeting. Please, in the meantime, bring so, Mr. Jackson has proposed an amendment of the termination of pregnancy.
I
So, what we normally do, the procedure we are taking, Mr. Jackson, we open first to you, then we welcome to you, for you to take us through your proposal. We normally put a lot of emphasis on the object of your proposal of the law. And we also are supposed to also to double check what the cost to the state would be if your proposal is implemented. The Speaker's office is supposed to do the preliminary checking of that issue of the cost to the state. And normally, they are supposed to, if the cost to the state is already there, they are supposed to not even bring your proposal before us. But if, because it came, there is a strong suggestion to the vetting of the proposal to come through, that they were happy with all the changes that the rules say they must look after, which is the cost to the state and if the issue is not covered in the there are no processes underway somewhere in the state excellence to consider your matter. So we sometimes also re-testify ourselves in terms of those issues. And so it normally becomes clear after engaging a proposal of the state or a proposal outlined the proposal, then it becomes clearer in our mind what the question is saying to me and whether in the subsequent steps that you take, after you have proposed, you will call the relevant department or and the relevant committee we have to make for the inclusion in the process. So because the law decides what the structure of health, but yours is a constitutional amendment proposal, we may call the Department of Justice because the issue of constitutional amendment is signed for the department. And as committee in terms of parliament, we may want to engage both and national we may also call the Department of Justice. And then in terms of committee work of parliament, we may work in the committee that you have got adhering to your proposal, which is constitutional review and probably the justice committee itself and the committee on health. The rules of parliament instruct us to work for currently affected committees if there will be any, but we are also told by the rules to invite the relevant government parties to discuss the issues with us and to air their views on the proposal. So that would be the second thing. When we call the relevant department, you may be present, but you are not allowed to engage with them. So they would be just telling us of their views will not be final to us. Just they are informing us so that we are better informed to take the decision. So I hope this outlines the process for you. And then at the end of the proposal, as a committee, the rules say we must say yes to your proposal, meaning that must now proceed from a member's proposal to a bill. At that stage, then it is taken out of our hands and then it goes to the relevant committee of parliament. But instead, it gets to the Speaker's office, who will redirect it to the relevant committee if it appears to the proposal. If we say no to the proposal to the end of the story, but sometimes we don't just say no, we sometimes realize the proposal that they are. Some issues that the state is present. Sometimes we propose the debate, although we never get a response to the debate from the Speaker's office. And sometimes we redirect your proposal into other amendment processes of the state department, but the US account, of course, is just the focus, and we don't know. So we don't know as yet what we will take. So we want to convince us your platform to test things about the current process of the proposal and convince us that we must be here. So I open up to you now if you, if there's any question you can ask it now before you can present it.
No, I appreciate that little bit of info because obviously I'm not familiar with what goes down. But also you can guide me as I go. I'll give it my best shot. I do have on my memory stick the legislation and then some of the bits and pieces of the argument. So if it is helpful to have it up there,
yes,
I can do that.
You will get somebody to come in the evening who are the general agenda.
Yeah, and starting with something I don't have hard copy of in person, where the source of this proposal sort of started with me, and there's a question, why should an unborn child be regarded as a person for purposes of property and not for life or limb? And I have written here that the African Christian Democratic Party echoes this entirely logical question asked by the presiding judge in the Simpson versus Sanders insurance case. Shockingly, a woman's right to have her pregnancy terminated does not infringe the unborn child's right to life, as the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa does not give the unborn child a right to life. In law, unborn babies are regarded as persons for purposes of property and even injury claims, but not life. According to the judgment in the Christian Lawyers Association case, the legislature had no intention of protecting the unborn child's right to life and purposely excluded it from both Section 11, that's the right to life clause, and Section 28, which deals with children's rights. Now, Section 12 of the Constitution, which gives everyone the right to make decisions regarding reproduction and to security in and control over their own bodies, has further entrenched the view that an unborn child's right to life is entirely dependent on another's will. These important rights have been carried to the extreme, resulting in absurdity and gross injustice. In our opinion, this clause should be interpreted in line with the Limitations Clause, Section 36. And Section 36 makes sensible provision for the rights in the Bill of Rights to be limited by legislation to the extent that it is reasonable and justifiable in an open and democratic society based on human dignity, equality, and freedom, taking into account all relevant factors. It is not reasonable and justifiable to devalue life, and certainly not to the extent that an unborn baby may be expelled from its mother's womb up to 12 weeks gestation for any or no reason at all. Where is the dignity, equality, and freedom in allowing unborn children up to 20 weeks gestation to be terminated for social and economic reasons? How is it reasonable and justifiable to deprive fathers of all rights and regards with regard to the unborn children? And obviously there's the additional anomaly of 11, 12-year-olds with the right to abort their babies, with actually right to be manipulated by other people without even their parents being there as a safeguard.
I was given the
I'm just saying abortion on demand is unreasonable, inhumane, and discriminatory as sort of the background. So we could put it up. Does anybody not have a copy of the book?
You're a lawyer by profession.
time to ask.
Well, no, but I was studying an LLB degree when I took off a pair of Solomon, and I was halfway through. Well, I put it on the shelf, and then I went and got it transferred to uni, so that I lost my and I've got now back after all these years. I've got back to halfway, and you know, the chances of me ever getting to the end look so slim. However, I've done an awful lot because I've had to redo an awful lot.
No, you know what? You can actually write to them for them to do the additional writing. Also take into account what you teach and the writing on your third writing. Give you credit and let you have any lessons or whatever.
Well, I'd love to come and talk to you because you get quite despondent. But actually, this little note that I've just put to you now was something that I actually, while I was studying medical law, was what had occurred to me. I'm not a lawyer. Perhaps then if we go straight away to the proposed legislation. Of course, the Constitution's 17th Amendment bill, because to my understanding, the best I could find out, that was pretty much where we were at the time, but obviously I stand to be corrected. Then the bill itself reads, to amend the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, in order to include the right to life of the unborn child, be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Amendment to Section 11 of Act 108 of 1996. Section 11 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996 is hereby amended by the insertion after the words right to life of the following words, including the unborn child. Section 28 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa 1996 is hereby amended by the addition of the following sentence in subsection 3. Where appropriate, child shall also mean unborn child or human fetus. Okay, then
do you insert something?
It's just as a typo. Alright, for background, we go back to the High Court in the first Christian Lawyers Association case, declared that if the intention of the legislature was to protect the rights and life of the unborn child, they would have done so explicitly in Section 11 and Section 28 of the Constitution. That clearly shows that unless those are changed, there can be no sort of change in the situation in the legislature. So this ruling made it very clear that a constitutional amendment would be the only means by which an unborn child could be entitled to any protection. Section 12 of the Constitution, which gives everyone the right to make decisions regarding reproduction as the security in and control over their own body, has further entrenched the view that the unborn child has no inherent right to life. So this has been stated in the court judgment that this particular section overrules that. So, and without the constitutional protection, there can be no limiting of that right. Without any constitutional protection of the right to life of the unborn child, Section 12 has been applied in a manner which has resulted in gross indifference to the value of an unborn child. You see that? Section 36 of the Constitution makes provision for the right in the Bill of Rights to be limited by legislation to the extent that it is reasonable and justifiable in an open and democratic society based on human dignity, equality, and freedom, taking into account all relevant factors. Without the relevant protection of the right to life of the unborn child in the Constitution, however, Section 36 has been rendered ineffective in limiting rights which have resulted in unreasonable, unjustifiable, and inequitable practices, such as legalizing forcible removal of an unborn child from its mother's womb up to 12 weeks gestation without any reason or cause, termination of pregnancy up to 20 weeks gestation without any reason or cause under the guise of social and economic circumstances, which can be absolutely inadequate. Accordingly, the constitutional amendment as proposed is the only means of affording the unborn child any reasonable right to life. Where the mother's life or health has to be weighed against the life of her unborn child, Section 36 of the Constitution will permit the doctor to terminate the life of the unborn child without fear of legal consequences. And then go on to the objects of the bill. The objects of the bill are to amend Section 11 and Section 28 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, in order to ensure reasonable protection of the right to life of the unborn child. I only listed Doctors for Life under consultation here, but in actual fact, this has been many years of ongoing consultation with many organizations, from the Catholic Bishop's Parliamentary Liaison Office, the groupings that meet around this issue, Christian Medical Fellowship, all pro-life groups, churches, our constituency generally, public, the whole, the nurses, doctors, all affected parties, but not in any particular formally noted forum. I wasn't sure how to list those things. Financial implications for the state and provinces. I think here that there are no financial implications for either the state or the
consultation was including Doctors for Life being
No, that's not what
I've noted them
here. You see, Doctors for Life, I've got documented things going backwards and forwards, but actually, when I thought about it afterwards, there's a lot of those organizations I could come up with and actually look more in depth. So I would say I probably kind of undersought that.
Okay, we'll
Yeah, because I think at the time of dealing with the issue with other organizations, I had not tabled this document. So my thought was I hadn't gone back specifically on this issue to include their name on the document. Which by now I actually have, so we could do that. Anyway, there is no financial implications for either the state or the province. Obviously, you were questioned around that issue. And just to say, so a few thoughts in that area, obviously there is budget that goes towards the promotion of termination of pregnancy and the implementing of this, and all of that's concerned there, and we obviously see that a lot of funding there would be released. But the other point is to make that we have been calling for the promoting of adoption and these kind of things from way back, and as governments have picked up on that, we have seen an incredible turnaround that we're some years back. Whilst there probably was there were no white children moving home because there was plenty of adoption, there were hundreds, you know, there were huge numbers of black children who were seemingly unwanted. That's not the case anymore. In fact, it's the opposite way around. So what we're seeing is that
there's a hand to this.
Well, you know, look, I mean, there's orphans, but we're talking in terms of babies up for adoption, so we see just in that area that there has been a huge turnaround just on the minimal effort in terms of promoting the concept of adoption and whatever. So just to say that we do see that there's more effort in that direction, that offers a lot more opportunity in terms of a comparison to what effort we're putting into that area.
What does this mean?
Okay. Organizations on the ground that are dealing with children and pregnancies that are supposedly unwanted and talking to people and children who are put up for adoption, and people who are working on the ground with shelters and homes and whatever. So when I say we, I'm talking about, I I used to clearly be able to tell people about the horror of the babies that were needing care of the doctor and the numbers. But I can't do that.
Okay. So let's have the wee with come back to show the
quality. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to help you.
And also on that issue, if you want me to present a specific factual paper on something like that, then let me rather go back to those people and let me get the relevant facts so that I'm not pulling bits and pieces from the air.
I think that's
your question. All right, the opinion is held that the bill must be dealt with in accordance with the procedure established by Section 74(2) of the Constitution, since it contains an amendment which seeks to amend Section 2 of the Constitution. Can I present a little further argument around those issues just before we open the question?
How are you saying?
Well, let me give you a short little addition to that, and then I'll leave the other one that is written here. Anybody else? Just two comments, because in my feeling, this didn't come across clearly enough for me when I put the background together here. And that violence against women is innovation. Sorry, just to bring up, violence against women and children has increased, and respect for human life and the dignity of others in our nation has substantially decreased over the last decade. This is in no small way directly related to the fact that the killing of the most vulnerable and helpless members of society is legally carried out at a rate of 250 babies per day. This disrespect for human life affects the psyche of the man. Disabled children are being victimized in the womb, and abortion is a routine diagnosis for children with disabilities such as Down syndrome. This type of eugenics directly affects people's attitude towards those within our communities living with physical and mental disabilities. So I would like to say that I believe that violence against women and children and the discrimination against the disabled are very negatively affected by the commission within our constitution.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mrs. Bradley. Before we take members input, they can make input, they can make suggestions, they can ask a bit of questions. So it's just the issue that said the same about taking your input. You see, in terms of the rules of parliament, when you sponsor as a member of parliament. So you separate yourself from your party, and you separate yourself from society, civil society. So whereas you bear in mind and you represent the aspirations and the problems of society, you're proposing as an individual member of parliament. So that's the first thing. So that is what you have to carry through with your proposal, that you as a member of parliament, even if I am the member of the ANC and the member of the Women's Click and Gender Group and community organization, if the day I propose we are going to propose a 20 minutes of member of parliament. So you cannot enjoin yourself with them in your proposal. You stand alone. You can bring forth the views of your party as your own view. And you can bring forth the problems of preventing the problems of society in your individual. The other thing is we can only put on record of parliament the consultations that were done within the parameters of parliament, like in a public hearing or whatever, like we're going to invite people to come forward. You may suggest a take them on board. But in terms of our records, including your own proposal, you can't dispense consultations with the extra parameters. But you can dispense to the instances of in calls, etc., etc. And also, we reserve the right to check your interpretation of contracting. So the contract you may bring in, because the interpretation of the law is delayed. But you must know that in the course of the event of engagement with your guest, we will also question your interpretation of those contracts. So I just need to before I hand over to you, but let me congratulate you on your well-structured proposal. Sometimes we have to send members then to go and read up the proposal. So your very consistent here and already in a bill form is very, very helpful. So thank you very much. I will now open to members to engage in the conversation. Before I continue, we were allocated a dedicated legal officer.
Good.
We talked today. We are also dedicated a special inspector to our committee. Will you introduce yourself?
My name is Gerard. I'm the research.
At law.
At law. We have also been allocated a media support person.
Second, it's going to be serious.
Well, the fact that I said they are in parliament, this lady who is our media support person has excused herself for today. She will be doing that for all other stories. They too must have their room to advise us, but it will be later. So my proposal is the constant protection of the way that we don't limit your presentation, but when you have gone, you will be ruthless. So we minimize the ruthlessness because we must give you your respect as a gentleman. By ruthless, I mean to say that we are going to leave no stone unturned. And even then, our advisors, especially the legal and the researcher, not the media one, because for external communication, they will participate in advising us in terms of how to do the today is your day. I'll open to Mr. Ainsley, Mr. Shini, Mr. Swan.
Thank you, Chairperson. One doesn't want to go into too much detail regarding the proposal until we hear from other stakeholders and so on. But there are just one or two questions, mainly for clarity. The first is, and I won't refer to it as consultation, let me say interaction. In Mrs. Dudley's presentation, she seems to have had a lot of interaction with a range of organizations opposed to the termination of pregnancy. I was wondering if, to get a balanced point of view, she has perhaps also interacted with others who favor the retention of the termination of pregnancy. That's the first one. The second, I was wondering if this measure or a similar measure has been submitted to Parliament since this section of the Constitution was enacted. Not exactly the same proposal, but a similar proposal to this committee or maybe to other committees. And then finally, I was wondering, you know, when we enacted this measure, there was huge debate, a huge discussion, there were public hearings, and one gained the impression that there was wide support for the termination of pregnancy, and thus it was inserted into the Constitution. I was wondering if you have maybe sensed a change of attitude in Parliament, a change of attitude in the country, maybe, regarding termination of pregnancy, that would support such an amendment to the Constitution.
We will take all other questions. Will you cooperate with me? If we take all three members and then you will reply to all, or do you prefer to answer to them?
It might be better for you if I do it section by section, because then I'm not likely to sort of lose the gist of what the question was. So I'm thinking it would be helpful, but
just tell me. Just step up with my time, okay?
No, it's okay. It's okay. Both,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. thank you. On the interaction, I'm glad that it was cleared up there, because that's what I thought when it came to that section. What exactly am I supposed to put the consultation dilemma? I mean, obviously, once it goes through committee, there would be a different level of consultation with the department. So it is interaction. Now, I sit on the health committee, so I have constant input from the department and all of the pro-abortion groups all of the time. So I just take that for granted that is my main diet. Then I myself go out to create the balance, of course, in terms of other people's understanding, our constituency, and that was why, and obviously as a party our views are what they are, which means that we are getting we are interacting anyway with those groups.
You're not suggesting that the health committee only interacts with pro-abortion?
Well, I can tell you absolutely that up until not so long ago, that was the case. And in fact, the hearing on the oversight determination of pregnancy legislation was shocking. There would be selected refusal, say 20 of pro-abortion people, 2 of pro-life people, and then there was huge intimidation of those 2 at the time. That came with the last amendment that came through here at the National Assembly, when they went completely the other extreme and had an entirely pro-life hearing and didn't have one other. So what the strategy is and what's going on, I don't know, but actually up until recently, so no. Now as we stand, I would say that the input is, because when we go into hearing, say for example, even on the children's amendment or the hearings, you'll find, and the CCOP one, so in the hearing on the ground, and this will lead into the other question, the provincial leaders of those hearings actually declared at the end of each of the hearings that was the strong opinion of the people on the, that was their conclusion from what they heard from the people on the ground. Now what I know and understand to be a fact is that at the time of the drafting of the constitution and in the build-up when people were asked to make submissions, these walls of parliament were chock-a-block with submissions opposing abortion. And people were clearly said in parliament that regardless of that, the people don't understand what's good for them, and the sentiment of leaving out the protection of for the unborn child were put into place. So I think if we research this very carefully, you will find that nothing has changed. In 94, there was strong anti-abortion sentiment. There's been strong anti-abortion sentiment ever since, and there still is strong anti-abortion sentiment. The difference is that, of course, people get respondent by the year in terms of whether they have a voice, whether they should make submissions, you know, that kind of thing. So that would be my
answer. I can give you that. I should not leave you to a situation where after you cut a question or another committee.
Sure.
And we probably just in 2 different conversations. I would tell you now that my experience is the opposite of your experience. But I just want to recognize that I think the day that I asked a few questions that led you to the border of what your answer almost borders on question on another question. That I think so responsible people, and I don't blame you if the question that I had comes to the question answer the way you did. But I would ask you then to continue to answer the next question. And you have 3 minutes to answer two minutes left of the beginning.
All that's left here is, has any similar proposals been put forward? As far as I know, no. Obviously, constantly I have called for the legislation on termination of pregnancy to be amended and to be reviewed and to be repealed and to be whatever. But apart from that, there is no formal submission or proposal that I know.
Thank you,
Jefferson. No, Jefferson, I think some few comments. It is important that we thank another member that on the proposal. and I'm sure I would also be thankful when you highlighted that in the process we will be as open as we expect it to be. And I think the questions we ask also will help in terms of the research or whatever information that she would use to support you. I'm saying this because that's in adding to what another member actually has raised. First, maybe starting from your point when you said some other things are debated, that in the process is not a question of of party politics positional, it's a question of engagement. For instance, when you touch on the question of within communities adoption, there's a time when we engage, I will differ, for instance, that in our culture as South African blacks, without implying color across, that we will be engaging one another if there has to be an argument around that one, that I'm closer. And whenever a daughter gets pregnant in a family, for whatever reason, it becomes a secret if there's no one who marries or who claims the responsibility. You know, saying that automatically that child becomes a children. You see, not in the interpretation of the Western way. To say why should you lose, because you should lose is not father the child. According to us, it is the uncle who becomes the father of the child. And no question. No one even questions as to what happened. Because children are treated alike in the family unit. But I understand the argument. I'm just saying these are things we will be raising. There are other things that, in terms of our culture, you see, elderly grannies take the role of doctors. So they've got their own way of dealing with certain things that men will not even talk about. I'm saying these are things that we will be engaging, but I'm not trying to dissuade you. But my other point is that and I was very excited that you discussed this, because engaging in this is to give us, firstly, a better understanding of the status quo. I would have liked to have the legal people, and I'm saying this on a very, very serious note, that we always argue with lawyers in terms of the language they use and the interpretation, not with you. Constitutional legal people. You see, on the first paragraph, and I'll pick up, I'm not in this question, but in terms of your word selection, and I think the intention has been clarified. You see, once you mentioned that if the intention, he then tells us that those who were making laws at the time should further explain what was the intention of that act of parliament as well as that section. The other one, the definition of a child, I'm saying the process will actually explain, because other definitions are medical or others according to the dictionary meaning. I'm just saying so that in your further input, those are things. Your choice to use explicit and implicit, it means those distinctions from time to time, because they have to do with context. You have 1.3 that which gives everyone the right to make decisions regarding reproduction, which is something in the context, and I think the gender, the structure of gender also works. We can remember how women have to deal with this issue, their rights, reproductive rights, and so more so over the control of their bodies. I'm just asking because it's one of the things we've got. One section that is very interesting that has been quoted in 1.5, section 36, the limitations of the right. That's one area that lead to my request to or a proposal to have legal people. Because without being a legal person, when you read through the Constitution, mostly on the Bill of Rights, it does have these guarantees But these guarantees have got conditions in terms of how you meet this, right? And the conditionality, the limitations. Limitations is something that has to be expounded or further, as well as, I'm just highlighting on the choices and using your proposal because it's very important. That have resulted in unreasonable. The issue of reasonableness indicates in terms of the something that you refer to and what it means. Then the last one is that without any cause or reason, I'm just picking up on the words that you use. You see, without any reason or cause under the guise of social, I'm just saying these are areas, lastly, the last paragraph, of course, that where the mother's life or health should be weighted against the unborn child. I will say in your further engagement or explanation or supporting documents, those are areas that I feel will interest us in terms of you explaining further as to what you mean, because those were, according to me, will be areas where we'll be engaging. And then, lastly, the last explanation, interpretation of the relevant section that is the section section 11 and 28 you have made reference to.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think that the important thing there is exactly what I felt was the important thing there, and that is that section 36 has a very important role to play in our constitution. And on this matter, in terms of section 12, it's not able to do that because it is blocked by the fact that the legislature apparently did not intend to protect the rights of the child in those clauses at that time. Now, obviously, what I'm saying is that I believe that if it is looked into carefully, that is not the will of the people, and it's not what, hopefully, it's not what the court says. My understanding is, if the legislators did not intend it to include protection of the life of the unborn child in section 11 or section 28, then that is what happened. They didn't intend to, and that's what the court was saying. But that hasn't been tested, so we don't know. But either way, it impacts on other sections where there would normally be that a very important clause, a section like section 12, which is important and necessary. But that
section, you mean that this is our constitutional application?
Yes. So that has been allowed to be taken to an absurd degree. Purely because there is no right, there is no protection to the right. What I'm really saying here in this background is that we need to allow Section 36 to do its job. And the one thing that's blocking it from doing its job on other sections in terms of making sure that there's no absurdity is the fact that there has been no inclusion or recognition of any rights of the unborn child. So that would be my argument. I could continue with some of the arguments around the right to life, because obviously it's sort of bringing up that issue. Thinking of medical comments, maybe I could start with what I put here. The South African law seems to base the right to abortion on a woman's right to bodily integrity. However, in an objective ordering of rights, in which some rights are obviously more vital than others, the right of life trumps that of bodily integrity, and this should be respected in our law. The right to life is the most basic right because it is a precondition for the possibility of having any other rights. It makes no sense to say I have a right to equality if my right to life does not hold, because I'm deprived of life. It is impossible for me to enjoy the right to equality or housing or freedom of expression or bodily integrity or any other right like, for example, the absurdity of saying that a fetus has the right to sue property and claim, injury claim, but actually doesn't have a right to life. If a fetus was recognized as a separate being with moral status who has the fundamental right to life, this right to life would therefore justifiably limit one's right to bodily integrity. I'm saying if the fetus did have the right to life, that right to life would limit the bodily integrity section. So abortion is allowed up to birth with no upper age cap for various reasons. Medical advances have, in fact, again, this back to an argument that continues on with that. If you go on to where it says arguments for extending the right to life to the unborn. In order to argue against abortion, it's necessary to show that the embryo or fetus has moral status. In other words, that it's morally significant. It's a morally significant being and should not be killed unjustifiably. Human infants after birth are generally accepted to be these types of beings. If we proceed from the assumption that after birth human infants are beings with moral status, who therefore enjoy the right to life, to support abortion, it is necessary to show that the nature of a newborn infant is different from the fetus before birth. In other words, why birth represents a morally significant dividing line. It's clear that birth does not change the nature of the being in question in any morally significant way. To make this event the marker of the infant requiring moral status is irrational and arbitrary and unsafe. Is there a point in pregnancy or characteristic of the fetus which is developed during pregnancy which changes the nature of the fetus in such a way that it becomes a being with moral status when it was not such a being previously? In other words, from the time of conception, all that is contained there is growing. And there's nothing significant that actually happens and nothing that changes it except the fact that there's a transfer of via what the baby is taking in air. South African law makes no reference at all to the nature of the fetus, but implies that 20 weeks is such a dividing line, that conditions under which abortion is legal are limited to some degree after this point. If 20 weeks is a morally significant dividing line, the onus is on lawmakers to show why this is so. If one cannot say why this point is morally significant, the decision to disallow abortion after this point while allowing it before this point is arbitrary. Characteristics which have been considered relevant in this regard are quickening, the ability to feel pain, or viability. However, none of these characteristics can be shown to be morally significant. The inability to move, feel pain, or survive independently cannot be rationally defended as characteristics which deprive a being of moral status.
Are you still answering
the question? Just in terms of argument around the right to life, why should I need Section 36 to be limiting Section 12? Because I'm saying it creates an absurdity, and the only way to make sure there isn't that absurdity would be to say that we need to protect the right to life. Because then Section 36 will put in again and do its job of limiting other absurdities, like, for example, where the life of the child threatens the life of the mother. So what I'm saying is the argument around what exactly happens in terms of the fetus, at what point, where does it become anything different to what it was from conception. So these are arguments that need to be made and haven't been heard and haven't been made. And they are arguments that are out there and need to be made. Things like
labor. Look at Mr. Lawrence that's coming. You may stay home if you choose to, but we will release you because it looks like it's not coming any moment you want.
Alright, so from a medical perspective, doctors will tell you that the genetic material of the unborn is unique and it should therefore be classified as a separate individual from the mother from conception onwards. And the dependence on the mother does not confer loss of identity. In fact, affect which the Constitution confirms in other instances, such as in disability. Because if a person is disabled, they will be dependent on another person. And if that does not infer that that is not a person, you can't take away the identity of that person because of its dependence on something else. The fetus is able to react to outward stimuli from an early gestational age and experiences pain from as early as 8 weeks gestation, a time when some women are not even aware that they are pregnant. And in the absence of intervention and disease, an embryo will develop into a fetus.
Which one are you?
Sorry, I can also just give you this. So
yeah, but you know what? I'm reluctant to let you read a whole lot of news documents all over again.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a second vital start at that
when
time
you come back
then more additional documents. So don't rather reject me for the
phone. Alright, so my understanding of the question would be just you want to interrogate why do we need to look at Section 36, why is it not doing its job? I'm really saying that, yes, let's put those arguments out there, I agree.
Okay, maybe that's the point. I think what I was saying, which I believe is what you're trying to communicate across, is that as we ask questions of mindfulness, we try to sensitize you around areas of emphasis that when you present, because you have this presentation without knowing what our thinking is. And I think your second approach will then be restructured in order to convince us, you see. So we are not necessarily expecting answers, but to say these are areas from what we hear that you must be prepared for engagement in the next time. In
Just thank you.
Thank you.
The scientists said that condition by provision for the termination of pregnancy. The way I feel it, that's not the case. The condition is silent on the rights of the unborn child, which allowed us to pass legislation that made provision for the termination of pregnancy. That is right. I wasn't here for following those notes.
Yeah,
so I'm asking change because I need the confirmation just to line my way of questioning. Well, the first argument is the right to life is sacrosanct. That is the primary, that is the actual one right that should not be limited to me. We even took away the death sentence. Now, I just want to get something, and that's why I'm getting back to the fact that we do have legislation on the nurse presidency. I would like a proposer just to indicate to me that if she thinks that if we change the constitution to include the right of unborn child life, that by itself would put forth an argument that our legislation on natural pregnancy is then be unconstitutional, bearing in mind the limitations. Can be limited. That will be next week. So I just want to know if you think if we do this, that will by itself make it unconstitutional, or will it just be a first? No, I'm saying that with all respect, but I'm just trying to have a proper discussion. Or that you think that this should be the first step to get something in the constitution which would then allow the to attack then the legislation that we did pass in terms of the nation. In other words, either that by itself or is that the first step to move forward in doing it. Maybe I need to make a remark, but I put out to support the fact that we need legal people here. Because I was always like, I'm a member of Parliament, see, and I know in the past I tend to get ritualistic sometimes about things, and it's not the way to do this. The legal people who are sitting with the committee, against which I have something to test my opinion, my skills.
We do have a legal person.
Another interesting thing, Chair, if you allow me a couple of minutes just to get to this whole thing of the rights of an unborn child, and maybe just give some perspective to our colleagues. in terms of what was mentioned by the proposer, and that means she could be mentioned thinking that, thank you, sir. And she mentioned thinking that the sum of. Now, in 78, as a first year law student, I walked into thinking that the sum of. I still remember that case. And it goes about a fiction in our.
You must be that case.
In my view. Now, the funny thing there, one would take that right, because I want to make some remarks about the further step about the 20 weeks, just from a legal point of view, from the other country's legal background point of view. Now, officially, the Tsongkham was a claim against the Tsongkham as an agent of the then RAF fund for damages to injuries and resultant disability and damages suffered by an unborn child when the accident took place at the farm before the child was born. And then they claimed on some and said, no, but we can't pay because there's no standing, that it's not a person. And then the court said, no, but what we do, we have this thing called an articulus fixi, which actually, in terms of the law, acts as if they regard the unborn child as if already born in terms of its rights. So we do the same, you know the same thing goes with succession law. In other words, we can act in arrogance or something. Now that also puts that in place. That's why that's a landmark case in our legal history, in that it actually gives cognizance to the unborn child as if born, in other words, as being the person to have rights. So that's the Latin phrase I use, is particularly story on my basis. And I've never used it in all my years in law, but I still remember that phrase from my first meeting day, so it didn't make any impact. But then the argument does face, and that's interesting nowadays, because one has been in mind that 20 years ago, also in terms of medical progress, the argument then about the 20 weeks, that was a big argument in our law in those days, at which stage can an unborn child or fetus be regarded as able to survive on its own? And the idea was then the 20 weeks thing that said, before 20 weeks, a fetus can't survive outside of the woman's mother. Now we do know nowadays that's not the case, because we create life and fetus issues. This is an amazing notion. So it will be very interesting to see, and I don't think there's been any legal court cases now in our South African law since then that really addressed this thing. And I'm very neat of that. In terms of the Christian Lawyers Association case, that was Transvaal High Court case, if I remember correctly, so it's only by the but see, that is the, I just want to give that. In other words, in our law, the way it's practiced in terms of court decisions, we do make provision for the right of an unborn child to be compensated for damages and injuries when he's born, and I want to use the word successfully. And also that same unborn child can inherit and they will interface in the same thing. So the question now is, we are saying, and I'm not arguing anyway, I'm just making the remark just to maybe the proposal is right to make a side remark because of that. But so at this stage we are saying that we do not protect the right to life of a child, but our case law outside does make provision for the right of that same unborn child in terms of inheritance, in terms of injury. I think that's the point of the time. If we're going to get into a legal debate about this, we need to keep that in mind. And I'm going to stop here, Chair, but the question that I do need some answers on is the question is the proposal.
Whether this proposal, if it exercises the will, would not render our current abortion laws unconstitutional, or is it the first step towards
there would have to be amendments to bring it in line with the Constitution, definitely.
So it's far missing.
So it's far missing in terms of that. It's not a first step, because what I've done here is I've chosen to make a watershed kind of move.
Oh,
sorry. If I was to do a first step, I would have taken the aspect of 11-year-olds being able to have abortions without. And I say 11 because although the Children's Amendment Bill says 12, the CCRP Bill says any female of any age. So can an 11-year-old be taken by the abusers into abortion clinics to have an abortion and sent out with the same abuser with condoms and having an abortion? So that's the kind of situations we have. I could have taken a situation just like that and started to chip away at the CCRP. What I've chosen in this instance to do is just simply to get to the base of the issue. My understanding here is that this is a fundamental omission in the Constitution, and that is that we have omitted to provide any protection for the human people, which I don't see any reason for that, and also just we see the repercussions of that, where it's carried to the extreme that it's not able to, that things like Section 12 are not able to be limited by Section 36 because of not having those basic protections. And I'm saying that once, yes, sure, it's going to affect CCRP, an amendment would have to be made, but you would still use the same Section 36 to limit in terms of creating the kind of balances that you need where you have a fetus affecting the life. You know, for genuine, solid reasons rather than for because I can't afford it this month. That you see, that's the kind of difference and where we need that basic protection so that we don't stretch things to that kind of degree.
Thanks.
Any other comments? Mrs. Gashich, I will just try to catch the issues that came from the staff. Anyway, I hope you are interested.
Consultation, stroke interaction.
Yes, stroke interaction.
Oh.
Was
there
another point?
The other one, has there been a change of attitude in the country towards...
May I ask for some clarity on that interaction consultation, just to help me get a picture in my mind before you summarize it?
No, I was interested.
And the other one was, has there been a similar...
yes, for any other
committee. Other committee or... similar proposal
before Parliament or any
other.
Yeah. No, you see, Mr. Interaction, in your supporting document, you may refer to some interaction. We will just note them when you bring them at your document supporting your action.
But it's not relevant on the so that's sort of why I stopped there, because I was thinking something.
Now, let me just quickly go through the issues. Mr. Enzi asked importantly about the issue of inter-education. Now we agree that the consultation is ours when we choose to do it together. Yours, you can bring forward inter-action or whatever observations from society. Which will just look at your submission presently. But you also referred to what happened in the health committee, which I said that almost bothered us, so I don't want to engage much on that. But I said to you, made a remark to say that it looks like we live in different southern countries. Because I'm pro abortion, maybe the health committee interact largely with groups that think like myself, that are pro-abortion. So that's why if I make a submission, I make a submission that shows that actually South Africa is still pro-abortion, simply because I have the propensity to liaise only with the people who think like myself, as I will bring before the committee, information that's directly opposed to yours. But you too, because probably your Christian beliefs, your position of your party,
tend to engage, you have a propensity to engage with those that think alike, like you. So you would also earnestly submit to the committee that your observation is that South Africa is anti-abortion. So I don't know how we'll resolve this, but that's not the intention of your submission anyway. And then, I don't know if you, I'll come back to give you a helpful answer effectively, whether before Parliament this letter has ever been put before out in any committee, or whether you know. If you don't know, we'll go and check ourselves. Mr. Mshululu asked the issue, the legal, about the legal arguments and calls for more legal support issues that prosecutors are doing already in looking to that matter. And he also, you know, came to the concept of telling that we would have to struggle and get to the concept. I'll tell you, I talked about local scientists and children. From biological, your concept will shift whether you are using biological concepts or line of thinking, legal line of thinking, or cultural legal thinking. Because biologically, at conception you speak of the fetus, then as it develops, an embryo, and then as it develops at a certain stage, you call it a fetus. And then in just before birth, you call it something else. And then commonly we call it a baby. When it can be born successfully, then we stop talking about when will the baby be due, etc. However, medically, that is biologically a medical. However, scientifically, culturally, we don't know a thing from the African culture called a fetus. We know an unborn child and a child. So a child is a child that has been born successfully, that you are going to raise, etc. So we will have to be very clear with the concept when we use them, whether we are going to use them culturally or whether we are going to use them medically and legally. So when we interchange them, when we talk about the unborn child, we must know that medically speaking and biologically speaking, an unborn child can either be an embryo, which is, in terms of law, we can call it before 20 weeks. And then a fetus at a certain stage. So I'm just saying that we are entering a terrain that's very difficult in terms of context. We'll have to clarify that area as well. So the other thing that Mr. Mshululu said, you have to bring us more supporting documents if you want to strengthen your case in the second time when we, including the one that shows the inner essence in the year. But we will, we are not saying that we will engage with them. We will look at them and perhaps note them. But the other thing I want to bring to the fore, which is the NCR. Maybe it's time that we tested the impact of the laws we have passed. I know Parliament is busy with a panel of a review of Parliament, which I chair, the members who are participating in the past panel. Yeah. And it's also busy with the model for testing what has been the impact of the laws that we have passed so far. We may need to maybe, even if we, at the end of the day, may not agree totally with the proposal, it raises the importance of whether we have subsequently tested whether South Africa has shifted in terms of the issue of abortion or not, or whether it is in the state. And then Mr. Flaff also says around the same thing, so and we may want to do so. So I don't know if you want to take any other type of because actually today we were not intending to deeply engage on the issue. But I want you to bear in mind the important issue of being able to be born successful and clearly distinguishing between even in terms of the legal precedent that you are taking before. So we are going to go back to the legal process that you have made the basis, because you have made the basis of your argument. And we will look into
I don't know if there is any help from you that you want to render us. I will open for you and then give Mrs. Dutchie the last say, and then check with the last thing at the last final thing, then we close the meeting.
I think members, but I don't remember.
It's in the mic, please.
Okay. It's incorrect to assume that the South African legislation or law or the legal system makes provision for an unborn child, because the decision specifically in pension says that they will wait until the child is born alive. So that decision or that award will be suspended for that time until the child is born alive. Exactly. So they will wait. There's no actually provision for that, for the unborn child in South African legislation or in case law. And also just I remember, specifically with interpretation, the golden rule of the Interpretation Act says that it will give the meaning of the word a general meaning in terms of what the Act says. So basically, we could basically use the Interpretation Act to find the general meaning of the word or what the legislature intended the word to be.
Thank you. I'd like to just speak to that being able to be born successfully, and I'm hoping that you indulge me, because
just a moment. Don't worry about the media community. They just want to have a snapshot of the community program for another time.
Just talking to the child being able to be born successfully. It's a very important issue, and also what you were bringing up earlier in terms of your perspective, your view in terms of what you've witnessed, what you've seen. And I will have my view in terms of what I've experienced, witnessed, or seen. And I want to ask you, if, because it does help us know what we're talking about. If we talk about fetuses and embryos, they kind of very hazy the situation. But for that unborn child to be born successfully, some tragedy may happen, something may go wrong, but what happens in an abortion is not a tragedy or something going wrong. There's very specific things that happen, and it's actually only fair to make that clear of what actually happens to that unborn child. I'm just going to ask you to have a quick look, because I'm praying that you will indulge me by letting the other members just have a look, and it's much more scientific. Let me tell you about my case before I give members. You may be yes. You know what? I believe many women, before they give birth for the first baby, knowingly or unknowingly, have an abortion, an extra abortion. Sometimes a forced abortion. Before I gave birth to my children, I had an abortion, a medical abortion, because I suffered from cystitis, and my fever was very high, so high so that if it was 40 degrees Celsius, and I was 400 Celsius, the doctor didn't even want to look at, you know, because my mother was suggesting that maybe they must go the water to check whether they would be fine. I had that fever for 3 days, and the doctor said, if you have that fever for 1 day, I will be comfortable. But because it has been for 3 days, I advise that you must terminate this process. I can tell you that 90% or more, this child is going to be born eventually. If a pregnant mother of any old thing suffers 40 degrees of fever, if you body temperature, for 3 days, you will be able to bring it down.
they aborted this child. My mother was saying no, but I was eight, I said yes. So, because I was being pursued by the police, I was politically active, I did not think I would be able to sit down and not share a vegetable baby, forgive my language. So I agreed to that. Now you must tell me if we had this law, in saying that you are proposing, what would have been the situation? Just answer that. Would the doctor have been liable? Would the state have been liable? Would we have breached the constitution? What would have been the situation if you applied, assume it was seen as a self evident, what would be the question?
No, exactly what you're saying, because there we're talking about tragic, problematic circumstances as opposed to where people take pliers and pull and rip and pull heads off and rip body part of it. That was a tragedy, not when you take a normal, healthy baby and just start pulling it apart. What you're saying there is we're talking exactly about that in Section 36 of the Constitution. It makes provision for the rights in the Bill of Rights. So if there were rights for the unborn child, there's provision for them to be limited by...
It was in 1990.
Yes, but I'm saying if it was now, and we say we have now put in place the rights for the people. Section 36 makes provision for those rights to be limited by legislation to the extent that it's reasonable and justifiable in an open and democratic society based on human dignity, equality, freedom, taking into account all of the relevant factors.
You're confusing.
So
what would we have been liable? And the doctor, would we have breached the constitution?
No, because we adequately covered, we have an excellent constitution in that regard. We are adequately covered in terms of those kind of circumstances. And so what we're trying to do is just... So you would not be able to go to those ludicrous kind of lengths. Whereas at the moment, because we don't have that coverage, we are getting absurd kind of things on the other side.
Okay. Yes. I will take the last five from them, but some children first, then I'll come and if they still want to
see Mr. Mahmoud. Yeah, maybe also you see there are the temptation of engaging, because now we deal with detail, and the reason why we said we would like to engage later, you know, I'm tempted, for instance, to go back to some of the debates during the time, although I was not in that room.
You
draw
from
that? One is that we were saying, and I come from a township where we know these things to happen, of backyard abortion, which are illegal. And in short of that, also, there is a component of voluntarism, am I right? That you cannot be done without your consent. The other one, when you go to the relevant section in hospitals, as we visit hospitals, access to that dedicated ward is restricted in terms of procedures, because the issue of information protection is what happens there. Now this comes to a point of what is it that government in allowing this process to unfold under the reasonability, under those terms we use to qualify the consideration that are given prior this operation. It is the medical process as you have outlined that has credibility in terms of doctors being qualified to decide. And I think there are many factors also that in terms of saving the life of the mother under those conditions. Now, although we don't have it here, that's why I'm saying, and I would believe that members between now and next week will make sure that you go through the air. So that in order, not that we
can
sit down. You have never said, not that we shoot down what you want to address. You have mentioned also sometimes the issue of morality, which I think also can be defined differently in terms of exactly what is the character of people who would do that. Others really have no choice, because if you are hospitalized, sometimes it is the situation that allows you. You spoke about conditions that might be beyond your control. Some women, and it's true, without us trying out making concessions, yes, but those who are matured understand exactly what you are saying. That if my wife is, for instance, has got a hypertension during pregnancy, you know there are those cases. There is medication that is dangerous. And if you can go to our graveyards, I'm saying too much now because there are some of the things as community workers we always challenge. You go to every graveyard, you see, you know, children's graves are exclusive. And when you look at them, you feel so bad about what could have the cause have been. And mothers might not have had it because we call it complications. And some of the things, if people should take them up, I'm saying, we share the same sentiments, but I don't think it is done deliberately so in the sense that that picture would project despite what happened. Yes. But it's a question of the rights are respected, but the complications, what affects the person? Some, and I'm saying, the pitch is not a closed meeting. People can make concessions. You can even decide that wife can make children, have children. You say, my wife, let's agree that you don't need children anymore. Because any child is a threat to your life. You see, you make decisions you would ordinarily make. So that's why I said, for us not to repeat the exercise prior the legislative process. Because I agree that the Constitution says, always says, through the act of Parliament, this right can be realized. And my rights are losing my way. So that then we'll be able to go direct into what is it that can be done to address what you are raising, but going back to what Advocate was saying, is the intention to do away, to challenge the what name, or to address the problem.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I had hoped that, you know, I refrained myself from talking for the simple reason that I was very interested in the legal aspect that was being debated, because I thought once we start off with emotions, I'm also like you, full of emotions, we're not really, you know, we have to address the consequences that are going to face us either way. We all have memories of people being in the situation where they had abortions, where there were criminal proceedings, etc. So I think, you know, I wanted to keep at this stage the whole thing to the legal aspects and the constitutional aspects and not come in, you know, with all the consequences which we will also have to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I wouldn't have been happy for me to leave the meeting without you.
So it's not a wisdom, Mr. Chief.
Yes, thank you. Well, I want to speak last is because I want us to leave this meeting and very interested.
Right.
And we will divide this, and I'm not going to remark on it on the board. We're now just one remark on that. I want to thank my colleague there, who I've known for many years. Just want to remind us that your child is my child. And the way in culture that children are taken to family, and also the respect that's given to the elderly, the age, and the role they play. Maybe that was one of the only positive thing that came out of our past. The fact that the not being there of fathers and mothers, or the grandfather, grandmother, seems to have been of the children. That's important. But that we should go away with that idea. And I think if we as a country, practice that, where there's no shame on a father not being there with new child coming, just be taken into the mother's family without that issue. unfortunately, I have children who were for one of my daughters at the friend at the moment who fell sick. The father is very different. My daughter is trying to support me. It's just bad. She can't understand. I would never do such a thing as something like that. I said, yes, of course I wouldn't do such a thing. She can't understand how a parent can do such a thing. I mean, you can get rid of that. But the primary thing, she is that we must go away with the idea, once again, to remind you that your child is not something.
Yes.
There
are animals that are walking around in human bodies. Some of them are men, some of them are women, and it's our responsibility to live in the life of it. You know, teach them to make our heads and make them thoughts. But last thing was that I want to tell you this one thing, to you and to me, that from my point of view, I'm not taking a quite a good proposal, you have to re-examine it, but I just want to tell you that I even said that to the ANC, when I landed in Parliament, the country, because the constitution is sacrosanct. Now, myself, God says the right to that is sacrosanct, I agree. But on top of that, the constitution is sacrosanct. So I said to the institute, there's no way you can want to change the constitution every Saturday. That's as I said in my youth when I was 1 week. Because I was asked to go to the committee that does constitutional review, and we're saying it's including. Supposed to receive a proposal 10 minutes. And I said, for me it was important for the 10 years to do that. But you have to reach a point where you say that the constitution is part of that. So this is not to say I'm rejecting your view. I'm just showing you the seriousness with which you were interrogated. We did the same with another constitutional amendment that was before us. It was about gay marriage. Well, the proposal was saying we must insert in the constitution a clause that would say marriage can only be between a woman and a man, So we interrogated it with a vigor that, you know, with a sense that they. When you come to constitutional amendments, you have to make very sure that it's so that is the approach that I would give to the committee was to say that yes, to amend laws you must do that every day, you must be careful. But the constitution has to make an absolute sure that it is absolutely necessary, because otherwise you're saying fine. In terms of stability of the country, in terms of sovereignty of the country, is based on the constitution. So, just to prepare you for the depth of the discussion, it would be from the point of view that because the constitution is concerned, every proposal that suggests that we will be interrogated. But let's thank you very much. You have learned a lot from your presentation. I don't think you are going to convince me to look at it.
May I just assure you of something?
You know what, I don't even look at when I see an excellence, I like that.
Thank you.
I don't know where people get the courage to stop by the roadside and look at an excellence. But I know I got that feeling after the medical abortion. And I saw that everything, but sometimes I can't look at the loss of life.
My appearance was just on the constitutional amendment, so I just wanted to assure you that I'm not taking the constitution lightly. And the only reason that I'm doing the constitutional amendment is because it has become very, very clear to me that to check the absurdities or to stop the things going to the extremes that they've gone to, the only thing that we can do in terms of what the courts have said is to put in place that petition. Otherwise, we would go for an amendment to the legislation, and that's what will end up being amendments to the legislation. But they can't happen unless there's that basic protection. So I just want to assure you that I'm not running roughshod over this. And it does look like our party has brought two constitutional amendments, but there's a very small amount of the constitution that we have a fundamental issue with. So we're not being casual about the, you know, just to assure you that we're not being casual about the very much.
You have the last word today. We will have the last word someday when we say yes for those years. You keep on saying.
There was one little last word I was because we were talking about the fact being successfully born. And that is just a point I was trying to put across, and now I need to put it across without control, without anything. It's just, that's exactly what we want. Yes, it's children who are successfully born, that's the point. But to take children, unborn children who could very well be successfully born, and then unnaturally...
How will you know that?
No, you do, because so what I'm saying is we're not talking about those that we want using against people who've got tragedies or whatever. We're talking about the absolute unnatural interference of taking children who can be natural.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You must just check, there might be water seen down
here. Yeah. No, I just wanted to say, Mr. Atlee, one of the things that I can just say, you know that one of the reasons, and I'm not saying because of something you discussed the last time, that abortion was allowed is when a woman is gang raped, and which is very emotional, that even the child will be born out of that. Forever will be no that. Will be this problem she will have to live with for her life, and the child being innocent.
Yeah, again, those are issues we can I feel the tragedy of that.
The legal approach,
woman,
I agree.
That woman lives with that tragedy.
No, the emotional one.
To add more violence, like to really done violence, is actually worse for the woman. So if you talk to the woman afterwards, and maybe it's a good idea that all the members who sit on the committee and do a bit of counseling of women who have been through, who have had these terrible kinds of abortions.
No, we do know them. You know, our constituency were fond of us. I have people praying, you know, and I enjoy when the people close their doors, they cry out before I can do my thing.